You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Apps designed for kids are as much a part of life today as Saturday morning TV cartoons and comic books were for their parents and grandparents. A lot of these apps are presented as being educational, which can help make a parent feel like a youngster's screen time is productive. University of Michigan pediatrician Dr. Jenny Radesky wanted to see just how educational these popular kids' apps truly are. And what she and her team discovered is troubling. Dr. Radesky, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what put this on your radar screen? Why did you decide you wanted to study these kids' apps?
Well, when I was in training as a developmental behavioral pediatrician, I started to see this huge influx of apps marketed to young kids and labeled as educational. And my first thought was, really? Like, really, are these actually educational? I was curious. You know, it's possible that there's ways that technology can give us experiences that we couldn't get in real life, but there's a lot of technology that's way too oversimplified. So I had looked into who had studied this before. People had taken the top-rated literacy apps. I kind of wasn't interested in those highly curated literacy apps. I wanted to know, what are the kids really playing in the United States? Like, even the junk food apps, I wanted to know. All the free apps, I wanted to see paid apps. So we decided to really just survey Google Play. We chose Android and Google Play because that's the sort of devices that I have in my lab. And so we took the apps that had the highest number of downloads. So these are like 10 to 50 million downloads.
These are the hot apps. Parents are going to know these names.
Exactly. These are the ones that show up on the top of the App Store that kids can easily download themselves. And so we wanted to play them and see what's going on in terms of the advertising content, which is just so distracting. You know, if you're playing along and doing a coloring page or matching and all of a sudden an ad pops up, that totally steers a child's mind off course. And they may not even understand that that's an ad. They certainly don't understand the persuasive intent behind the producer of that advertisement.
So you're looking to figure out, are these indeed educational? Instead, you found ads.
Right.
And you weren't expecting, right, to find the kind of ads and the way they're presented?
Exactly. We expected to see some in-app purchases. We expected to see some banner ads that, you know, were on the top and the bottom. What we didn't expect to see was really this high level of persuasion, trying to influence children's behaviors in ways that I felt was developmentally inappropriate. These were all apps that were targeted and advertised for kids 5 and under.
So little kids.
Yeah. A 5-year-old does not necessarily know how to read, much less understand, what do I do when this ad pops up? Or what do I do when, you know, Masha and the Bear is telling me, oh, you can get a better tool to help this sick animal if you watch an ad. And I just think that children 5 and under are so persuaded by rewards. They are so eager to solve little problems and feel that mastery, that's not fair.
Well, you're right about something that I, you know, as a parent and a grandparent, I got mad about this. When a child tries to cancel out, X out the pop-up, the character on the screen gets sad or even cries.
Yeah, we did see that in a couple of the apps where if a child wasn't making the in-app purchase, that the character showed some emotional reaction or some disapproval. And that is just not an appropriate relationship to have between a character who's in media and the child who's using that media. When you are a child, you are much more likely to trust the characters that come and communicate with you through media. You're much more likely to have some magical thinking and animism about technology. And studies have shown that children learn better and are more likely to follow the instructions of a known and trusted character. Like Elmo,
Olaf.
Exactly.
Or Frozen. Right. So give me some 4 instances from some of these hot games that you've looked at.
Well, the first one we found was Strawberry Shortcake. And in this app where you're putting together a smoothie, for Strawberry Shortcake and her friends, you can put it together with the ingredients that they requested 2 or 3 times, and all of those ingredients are given to you for free. But after 2 or 3 times, if you try and make that recipe, some of them are locked, and you have to unlock them by paying 99 cents or $1.99. And if you don't choose those locked items, Strawberry Shortcake says, oh, that's okay, you can have it yourself. So they're actually showing this social, even a little bit of rejection of, well, you didn't follow my instructions. You didn't make the in-app purchase.
My jaw just hit the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we saw things like Barbie. It was more subtle, you know, compared to Strawberry Shortcake, who was just out there asking you to make an in-app purchase. You know, she might say, oh, I really like those sparkly shoes, but those sparkly shoes are locked. You know, there were cases like the rescue bots, where you can't solve all the missions and save all the people unless you unlock different levels and different items.
Do any of these tactics actually violate the law?
There is no law about in-app advertising for kids right now. There is laws about television advertising. And television advertising does restrict what's called host selling. And that is that idea that Strawberry Shortcake is a character in the media and at the same time is trying to sell you something. So on TV, if you're watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, they're not allowed to then have a commercial where Mickey Mouse is trying to sell you shoes or a trip to Disney or something like that. So because children are too easily persuaded by that character who they were just enjoying. Basically, they have taken all of these advertising design approaches. We found these interstitial ads that pop up automatically just when you're idle during the app. Gamified advertisements where you, if you watch more ads, you get more coins. There really needs to be a discussion about whether that form of advertising, which is very, very common in adult games and apps, whether that's appropriate for children. Because children just don't have the developmental capacity to understand those things and to resist them. Children don't have that meta-awareness that we as adults should have about when technology is persuading us.
And I dare say a lot of adults aren't as aware as they should be about how technology's using
us. Exactly. I mean, because it's designed to try to take advantage of some of our unconscious biases, some of our habits that we don't even think about on a very conscious level, things that are very like base of our brainstem. Oh, I'm going to go reach for that because I'm just, feeling that urge that we're not even necessarily aware of.
If you just joined us, we're talking with developmental behavioral pediatrician Dr. Jenny Radesky from the University of Michigan, whose study found that these apps for our kids, especially these preschoolers, are just crawling with these manipulative ads. So what do we as parents or grandparents or caregivers, what do we do about this?
I think this hopefully will just be a bit of a wake-up call for parents to always check and play what apps their kids are playing. I have two young kids. I'm as guilty of this as anyone that I sometimes will just say, okay, yeah, go download that. That's fine. And I won't necessarily be sitting next to them. This has made me, I sit next to them. I watch. I see what they think when the app is trying to get them to change their behavior. It was really interesting doing this study all this past year. And my 9-year-old wanted to play FIFA Mobile, which does not have ads popping up all the time. It's just a game for you playing soccer against other people. But there were persuasive elements that would say like, oh, come back in exactly 23 hours and then you can get extra badges. Or if you come and check us every single day and you get a streak, we'll give you extra points and coins. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to see if my 9-year-old can be aware of this. Why is this app trying to get you to come back every day? Why are they making you think about this all the time? You know, he honestly couldn't really grasp it just yet. I think the only thing that worked to make him realize it is that he started to realize that the game was getting boring because he wasn't making in-app purchases. He was just playing and playing and losing and losing. And then he realized, wait, this game might feel a little rigged. So that's one thing parents can do.
Yeah, because the cart, I think the tech horse is out of the stable.
Right.
We aren't going to get people to say, we're not doing apps, we're not using tablets or smartphones.
Right. And you can, I've heard some parents say, hey, this is why I don't let my kids use apps and smartphones. And in the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines, which I helped write 2 years ago, we did say, don't feel pressure. Your kids don't have to get their own tablet or get their own smartphone early. This stuff is designed so intuitively, they'll pick it up quickly. If you want your kid to have some tablet and smartphone-based play, then look up ratings before you download. So look up ratings on like commonsensemedia.org. It's a great website. They've rated different apps. They'll give you like the top apps that they think are actually educational for different age ranges or for different things like social-emotional skills or learning how to code. Parents should also just feel that co-viewing or co-playing should still be an important part, even though that smartphone is small and it's your child may be tugging it out of your hands and wanting to use it all by themselves. Really just sit there and watch what they're doing, because that gives you an opportunity, like I did with my son, to say, why are they doing that? You know, give your child a little bit of digital savviness, digital literacy, where they can recognize the persuasion that's often baked into a lot of these products. And finally, you know, I want parents to use their consumer power, that they have the right to just choose the media that really empowers them as a parent and suits their family's needs. So I've told parents, do a movie night where you get to pick a movie that you watched in your childhood, and then you get to sit there and reminisce and tell stories. And it's actually helping you feel more connected to your kids. It's not actually making you feel more separated.
And by the way, while movie night's going on, mom and dad keep the phones down.
Exactly. I know, don't use movie night as an opportunity to go
check
do
email.
Your work or check email. Actually sit there. Watch your child's facial expression as they're seeing. You know, we watched like Swiss Family Robinson the other night, and it was so funny to watch my kids' responses to something that I watched as a kid. I mean, also, it gives you the opportunity to say, you know, the way that they're depicting those pirates is a little bit, you know, racially inappropriate.
Yes. And we've learned a lot in 30, 40 years.
Exactly, right.
What's at stake here?
Oh, well, in the big picture, I try not to be too panicky, right? Because my job as a pediatrician is to support parents and not to judge them, not to make them feel guilty, but to really do research that's going to help them feel like there's some action that they can take. But the big picture at stake here is that if we power ahead just designing stuff for kids without pausing and thinking what's really best for them, we're going to be creating a lot of junk out there that kids, especially low income and working class kids whose parents don't have $3 to put down every time they want to download an app, it's going to create more of a digital divide, that you get more of these junk apps that are free, that are packed with ads, that may not be developed with an idea of really how children learn in the hands of kids who are from different backgrounds or whose parents are more stressed or don't have as much time because they're pulled in a million different directions. The other thing at stake, I think there's a larger conversation about the ethics of tech design in general going on right now. You know, it's the tech lash of, you know, everyone actually questioning, wait, what are we all doing with our technologies right now? And how are they influencing our ideas and our behaviors? So children are where this all starts, right? Child development is how we develop our ability to reflect upon our behaviors and actions. It's how we develop relationships. It's how we develop the ability to tolerate those moments of boredom and distress that now we just fill up with little bits of technology and little bits of entertainment. So I would love for this to contribute to that larger conversation about, you know, hold on, let's think and really reflect before we put poorly designed tech in the hands of kids, especially in the hands of really stressed families that don't have the time to perfectly curate everything their kid comes in contact with.
Dr. Jenny Radesky, pediatrician, developmental behavioral expert at U of M CS Mott Children's Hospital. Thank you for sharing your research with us.
You're welcome.
It's an eye-opener.
Thanks for having me.